The Lord just had a message stirring in my heart, and it's about angels, and been thinking about it, and it just came together in a message for me this week, and we're going to have some testimonies at the end about angel activity in your life when you've known that angels were there. And Rosie, I think you had a time when you was making cookies that their man showed up, and the cookies were healed. The dough was healed. It wouldn't work. And so just be thinking as we're talking about it tonight, experiences you've had, amen, that would be a blessing to all of us. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is a spiritual realm extended to this earth through the body of Christ, through us, the born-again believers that are walking with the Lord, through the Holy Spirit that's one with the Father and Jesus, and also through angel armies that's all around us that we don't always see, but sometimes we feel them, sometimes we see them, sometimes we hear them, but there are angels assigned to us, and they're with us all the time, whether we're aware of it or not. And we're going to be looking at angels tonight, but we're going to talk first, go to Colossians 1 and do 17 through 19. And it says, "And he, Jesus, is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things," notice the word all there, "in all things he might have preeminence." Amen. "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell." So Christ, or Jesus, is the head of all things. And then on down to the next chapter in Colossians 2, verse 10, talking about the church, it says, "And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power." Now, this all includes both angelic and demonic power. He's the head of all principality and power. And in Ephesians 6:12, all my scriptures are New King James unless I tell you otherwise, and they're going to come up on the board in what I'm using. But in Ephesians 6:12, the Lord tells us to take authority over demonic principalities. And it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood," our battle is not with people, "but against," or we do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts." That word host means armies of wickedness in heavenly places. So there's armies of God, but there's also armies of wickedness because Jesus has preeminence, and in him we are complete. We also have authority over the enemy powers. Amen? Hebrews 12:22 tells us, "But you have come," that's talking to us, the church, "you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." That's a lot. That's more than can be counted. Hallelujah. And we have come. And there's an innumerable company of angels that's around the church and around us. Hallelujah. We're going to read a couple of angel stories in 2 Kings 6, 15 through 17, and this was about Elisha, and it was when Ahab and Jezebel was after him and mad at him, wanted to take his head. And anyway, okay, starting, "And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Elisha, alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire. Hallelujah. And so the servant could only see the natural army that was surrounding them, but there was a spiritual army that was greater and more and bigger. We're going to go on to Joshua 5, 13 and 14. And this is right after the children of Israel had crossed into the promised land. They had Jericho before them. And it came to pass, they were looking at the enemy that was a strong enemy. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, and that was Jesus, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does the Lord say to his servant? Army here means warriors organized for military service and equipped for war. The Lord's army are a mass of angelic beings. There is a real and organized angelic army, and they're mobilized by God's word, including those spoken forth by his servants. Angels respond to the word of the Lord. When we speak forth the word of the Lord, the angels respond and go into action. In Psalms 103:20 through 21, in the New Living Translation says, praise the Lord, you angels, you mighty ones who carry out his plans, listening for each of his commands. Yes, praise the Lord, you armies of angels who serve him to do his will. This means the angels listen and respond to the words of God that we speak, including Holy Spirit-inspired prophetic words and decrees of faith. When we repeat God's heart and what he says, and we repeat them and we decree them and we stand in faith for them, the angels' army goes into action to help bring them into being. They fight for us. Hallelujah. Psalms 104:4 says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? It says he makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. These ministers could be angels or born again men and women of God who worship and serve God. God wants fresh fire blazing from our lives. And he wants us to burn with the glory and his glory and his presence. Hallelujah. He wants that for us. Besides angels being spirits, they can also appear as humans. Hebrews 13:2 in the New Living Translation says, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. This happened to my grandmother when I was a girl. She was in her kitchen and someone knocked on her back door and there was a man there and he was carrying a violin in a case. And he said, I'm hungry. Could you fix me something to eat? And she says, yes, come on in and have a seat here at the table. And he sat down. Her table was in her kitchen. So he sat at the table and she started preparing him a meal, some food. And while she was preparing the food, he took out his violin and he began to play. And she said, it was the most beautiful music I've ever heard in my life. It was just beautiful. And then when I got the food ready, he stopped and he ate his food, and he says, well, I need to be going. And he told her, thanked her for the food, and left. And they lived, my grandmother's house didn't have any other houses near it. I mean, it was out in the open. Nothing else was near. And so he walked out the door. She turned around, and like in 30 seconds, she thought, I need to thank him for that music. And she turned around, and he was gone. She went outside, she looked, and nobody was there. Hallelujah. And she felt right then, that was an angel that came. Hallelujah. It's very possible that we've entertained angels, but I don't know of it. That way she felt sure, because he was just, she couldn't know where he could have gone, and he was just gone. Hallelujah. Hebrews 1:7 says, regarding the angels, he says, he sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire. I found a whole lot about fire, about angels, that I hadn't really realized before. Ezekiel 1:4 says, then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it and radiating out of its midst, like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Amber in the Word of God always represents the glory of the Lord. Hallelujah. And it came, hallelujah, with fire, a raging fire, and a whirlwind. Going on to Ezekiel 1:13 and 14. It says, as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creature. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning, and the living creatures ran back and forth, in appearance like a flash of lightning. And Calvin, when I was reading that this morning, Calvin says, a lot of times I've seen a flash, and where nothing was reflected, and he'll see a flash of lightning. He says, I've always thought that was angels when I saw that. So anyway, this is interesting that they appear as a flash of lightning. Isaiah 6:6 through 7, and it's so a scripture we all know well, that said, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. The word seraphim in the Hebrew means a winged angel that appears as a brilliant, glowing flame of fire. Now we're going to read Acts 2:2-4 in the New Living Translation. We've been seeing where angels come as winds and they come as fire. And here it said, suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. I believe there in the book of Acts that when the Holy Ghost was poured out upon the church, that there were angels involved. As we've seen the story of how angels were, I believe that day when the Spirit was poured out, angels were there. They were part of what was God's doing. Angels like to be in the presence of God. I've noticed that for years. When the presence of God is heavy, you just sense the angels are there. Hallelujah. And it's a good thing. It's just wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In December 2012, there was a Marcha de Gloria, or a glory march into Visaderos. That it had come where they were just carrying signs that there's power in the blood of Jesus. And it was just a campaign that they had done. It was in Nakasari, and then it was in Cumpas, and then went to Tapachi. And they just planned those 3 nights, and the Cartiers went with us, and we went to those meetings. But then on Friday night, we were in Tapachi, and they didn't have anything planned for Saturday night. And someone says, well, let's go to Divisaderos. And it wasn't planned. It was spur of the moment. Divisaderos is a little bitty tiny town. And so they took the March of Glory, the Glory March, to Divisaderos. And lots of people came in, and lots of people were marching in this march with banners about the Lord. And they said that march, different than the other ones, people just began to praise God. And people were just worshiping God and praising God. And it was just coming out of their hearts, worship to the Lord. And the next day, a lady came to Pastor Oscar Hoyos, and that isn't born again, doesn't know the Lord, but she came to him and she said, on that parade, there was light shooting up from the people. Lights were just shooting up from where the people were marching. And there was a whole glow of light above the whole parade. She said, I don't know how you did that, but that was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen in my life. Well, he didn't do it. They didn't do it. But as people were there worshiping, her eyes were open and she saw the glory of the Lord. And the angels, I believe, were there. You know, as they were worshiping the Lord, angels like to hang around worship. They just like to. So when they were worshiping, you know, I know she saw the angels, you know, the lights coming up were there. Hallelujah. I'm going to read a couple of dreams that Calvin's had that talks about the fire. This one is a couple of years ago. In Calvin's dream, my dad had asked him, how are your churches doing? I said, I'm not sure about a lot of the U.S. churches, but ours is doing good. We have a lot of spirit movement. Sometimes smoke comes and drifts or wafts among the people and then goes outside in the street and affects the public. And sometimes fire comes and gets all over the people or comes out of their hands. Then they smile almost playful and say, look, it doesn't burn me. Hallelujah. And then just a month after that, on a Wednesday night here, he was praying for young people in the service, and he had a vision of our baptistry full of water, and it was just mingled with fire. And that made me think of the scripture. Remember in Jesus' days on the pool of Bethesda, the angel would come and stir the waters, and when whoever would get in would get healed. And so fire in the water. Hallelujah. And then in November of 2 years ago, he had a dream that was real, and he said, I walked into the living room and felt an overwhelming presence of the Lord. As I got to the second recliner, I fell to my knees and started wailing in repentance. I was repenting for more than myself. I was repenting for the world. Barbara came in from the office and fell on her knees and started wailing beside me. I heard the words, a great light cometh. Then I saw a huge explosion of light, then multiple explosions of various sizes. I thought of it as being an ammo dump on fire with all sizes of ammunition going off at once. And then in February of this year, this is a word that Nina got in the middle of the night when she was up and with Jacob. But the Lord told her, Douglas is an epicenter of greatness. And that epicenter kind of struck me. And so I looked it up in the dictionary. And an epicenter is the spot on the earth that's right above earthquake. It's where the main source of the earthquake is. And that, or it's a point, anyway, it caught my attention because we've also had a prophecy that there's going to be, and this was years back with Kathy Creep and someone, that there's going to be a tsunami wave of God's glory through here, and it's going to be caused by an earthquake that no one sees that was caused by our prayers. So there's going to be an earthquake. And on the epicenter, hallelujah, we're right above that epicenter where the earthquake's going to come. Anyway, these words are just all interesting to me. Okay, going back, I'll just read her word. Douglas is an epicenter of greatness, hearts coming home, a land on fire, a lava flow, a dome of fire with epicenter of fire, a lava geyser. I hear witness from the south up, a wave of fire and ice, extremes, either all in or all out. They'll see but not see and hear but not hear, but rest in me, the oil is flammable. Lighted on fire, my presence is contagious. Sound the alarm, rise up and test the waters. Passion sometimes creates rejection. Not everyone will get it, but remain in me. And so when this fire of the Holy Ghost comes, there's going to be a lot that embrace it, but there's also going to be a people that just turn totally icy against it, but we're to go on, hallelujah, and stand firm in the Lord and what he's doing. On to angels. Angels are not to be worshipped. They are sent to minister to those heirs of salvation. And that's us. Angels' job is to minister to the body of Christ. Hebrews 1:14 says, New Living Translation says, therefore angels are only spirits, spirit servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. And then there's another warning in Colossians 2:18, the first part of this verse. It says, let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels. And so worshiping angels can cause you to lose your reward. And I know in the world there's kind of this angel thing, and there's some wrong spirits in some of the ways people watch angel shows, and there's just something, and I can't put my finger on, but there's almost a worship of angels, and it's not a holy thing. You know, angels are very real. They're a part of the church. They're who we, you know, who in the kingdom of God, but, you know, we're not to worship them. Angels are to be honored and respected as fellow servants. They serve God like we do, and we are to consider them our fellow servants assigned by the Godhead to assist us, the heirs of salvation. In Revelation, John was receiving revelation concerning heaven and the marriage supper of the Lamb, and he fell at the feet of the angel who was releasing the revelation, which is one of the things angels do, is release revelation. And the angel said to him in Revelation 19:10, amplified, refrain, you must not do that. I am only another servant with you and your brethren who have accepted and hold the testimony borne by Jesus. Worship God. And so while we need to be aware of the angels and know that they're here working for us and with us, our worship goes to God. Romans 8:16-17 in the New Living says, for the Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. We are the heirs of salvation. Angels are warriors organized for military service and equipped for war. The Lord's army are a mass of angelic beings sent to help the heirs of salvation. And Sheets, in his book, he had a chapter about this, and he called the angels the Air Force, H-E-I-R. force. They're the army of the Lord that's behind the heirs of salvation. So he called them the Air Force. I think that's just real cute. I liked it. They are the force behind the heirs of salvation. Matthew 18:10 says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels, plural, always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." And at least two angels are assigned to every person when they're born. It's plural, so we know there's more than one. At least two angels are assigned to every person. And I believe they stay with them all of their life. But the ministry of those angels may be limited in someone's life due to unbelief, disobedience, lack of understanding, or negative speech. Anything that limits God blessing us also limits the angels, what they can do for us, because they respond to the word. Hallelujah. And if we are walking in doubt and unbelief, their hands are tied in being able to help us like they were called to do. Proverbs 18:21 in the Message says, "Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit, you choose." Words of life activate angels, and words of death activate the enemy, the demons. You know, when we speak the wrong thing, we attract the enemy. We're going to read some things that angels do, some of their job description. Angels enlighten and reveal. In Daniel's time, the angel Gabriel revealed the future to Daniel, explaining that what he had heard was about the end times. So he brought revelation to Daniel. He lightened him. Mary, Joseph, and Zechariah, before the birth of Jesus, were told what was going to happen in the future. They had the angel revealed God's plan and what was going to happen. Angels bring messages. When Sarah got mad at her handmaid and the handmaid left, well, the angel came and said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" And she said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarah." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." So he brought a message. Acts 8:26. "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" And so the angel talked to Philip, told him what to do. And Acts took a message. I think what the angel was doing was taking a message from God to Philip. He was the messenger boy. Acts 10:3, "About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision the angel of God coming in and saying to him, 'Cornelius.'" And then the angel gave Cornelius instructions about what he was to do. The last two things, they actually heard the angel tell them the message. And here, Cornelius saw the angel in a dream. Angels carry answers to prayer. In the book of Daniel, in 9:21-23 and 10:12-13, Daniel was praying, and God sent the angel Gabriel with the answer to his prayers. On down in the chapter, and then in Acts 12:12. It says, "When he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying." And they were gathered together praying because Peter was in jail. And then we see that angels deliver, and so they were praying for him, and the angels delivered him. Acts 12:7-8. "Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, 'Arise quickly.' And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, 'Gird yourself and tie on your sandals.' So he did, and he said, 'Put on your garment and follow me.'" Hallelujah. And then he went to the prayer meeting where they had been praying for him. Acts 5:17 through 20. Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." So it was the religious leaders that had put them in the jail, and the Lord just went and got them out of the jail and said, "Go back to the temple and speak these words of life." So they were going right back to the same people that had put them in jail. But anyway, they were set free. Hallelujah. Angels fight. 2 Kings 19:35 says, "And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when the people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses all dead." One angel killed 185,000 of God's people's enemy. One night. That's a tough angel. I wouldn't want to fight with him. I want to be on his side. Amen. Hallelujah. Revelation 12:7-9. "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." And so Michael and his angels won the war. Hallelujah. There is more with us than there is against us. Amen. Angels protect. Psalms 34:7. Says, "For the angel of the Lord is a guard. He surrounds and defends all who fear him." And that word fear is being in awe of him, worship him. You know, just, oh God, just really, yeah, being in awe of God and worship him. Hallelujah. And when we do that, the angel of the Lord guards us and surrounds us. Psalms 91:9-12. It says, "Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place." Here, Most High in the Hebrew is El Elyon, and the nature of El Elyon is love, light, life, freedom, and forgiveness. So we could read it like this: because you are living in love, light, freedom, and forgiveness, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Hallelujah. It's good to know that the angels are about us. We travel so much, and little roads and bad roads and all kinds of situations, and we know the angels of the Lord are going around us. We know it. We just feel them. We're there. They're protecting us. Hallelujah. One day we were at a Christmas program. We were out driving to go to a Christmas program. We had the van, and it was full of people. We had a whole team with us. Rita Bertolino was one of the ones with us. But the grass was up higher than the van, and it came right up to the road. There wasn't any shoulder, so the grass was right there, and Calvin was driving along pretty good, and all of a sudden a horse ran right out in front of us, and he slammed on the brakes, but it was so close, there's no way we could have missed him, and Calvin knows rodeos and how they ride. It looked like someone spurred that horse. He leaped in the air and leaped out of the way, and we missed him. And so, praise God, God was with us. God had a cowboy angel get ready to get on that horse and spur him out of the way. Saved the horse's life and ours too. Hallelujah. We've been talking about decrees. It says, Job 22:28 says, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. And because angels listen to the word and respond to the word we speak, that's why I'm bringing this up with the message of angels. When we speak God's word, the angels go into action. Hallelujah. It gives them something to work with. Jeremiah 1:12 in the Amplified says, for I, God, am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. When we put voice to God's word, we come into agreement with him and his word, then he performs it for us. We agree with God's word and we speak it and believe it and he performs it. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55:11, it's the same with my word. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to do and it'll prosper everywhere I send it. Romans 10:9 says, it's the word of faith that welcomes God to go to work and set things right for us. Well, when God's working, under him is a whole host or army of angels that he puts to work. Hallelujah. Matthew 12:37 says, by your words you will be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. Last year, I think it was on a Sunday night, and we were up here. We said, this pulpit is Douglas, and we gathered around, and we each began to pray things for Douglas. And Becky saw the whole back of the church was full of angels, and every time we prayed, some of them would leave. We'd pray a petition, some of them would leave. And so they just went into action, into motion. At the reunion in 2011, 5 years ago, in the opening service, we lingered in singing hallelujah. We sang hallelujah song over and over, and it was just flowing. And the worship was flowing, and the angels joined us in singing. And a lot of people that day, many people, heard the angels singing. And there were instruments playing and heard that we didn't even have. Nina had said that she had her eyes closed worshiping the Lord, and she said, I've never heard our people sing like this. It's so beautiful. It must be the visitors that harmonize so wonderful. And then she heard it real loud, and she opened her eyes, and where she heard it coming from, there wasn't anybody even sitting there. And then it got over behind you. And it was just an awesome time. Hallelujah. And it just, the voices just rose and rose and rose just in praise to the Lord. That was an awesome time. There's been times that Calvin heard in our services and was having the real whirlwind of the move of the Spirit. Calvin would hear Mitch's guitar playing and he's opened his eyes one day and Mitch's arms were straight up in the air and that guitar was still playing. Hallelujah. It's just the angels here helping. In September 2009, we had went to Chihuahua to meet Pastor Luis and Mickey, and we had taken a whole pickup a load of stuff to them. We had Christmas toys and all kinds of things, food and Bibles and a whole pickup load of stuff, and we were had spent a day with them and a night with them, and then we had eaten in a little restaurant in downtown Casas Grandes, and the restaurant was kind of an old-fashioned kind of restaurant, and it was full of Mennonites dressed in their Mennonite wear, and we had went in there and eaten lunch, and we were just feeling, oh, we're just going back in time, and it feels good to be with these people, and we walked on the out of the restaurant door and started unloading things from our pickup to Luisa's pickup. And pop, 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 bullets came flying. And just five cars down from us, three men lay dead. And it was a cartel hit, and Calvin was standing in the back of the pickup, and the guys that shot these men, the assassins, drove right by, looked him in the eye, driving by him. And but the first shot, Calvin saw a bubble of light just go out all around us. And he knew we weren't in any danger, and that's how we all felt. We were there where it was happening, but we were not in danger because immediately there was a shield of light. He saw it just go all around us. And none of us felt the fear. I mean, it was traumatic because there was a lady with one of the men that was shot, and she was down saying, "Despertate, despertate." And she was crying, "Wake up, wake up." But he was gone. And so it was heart-wrenching to be right there, but there was never any fear, and there was never any danger to us because the light of the Lord just expanded all around us immediately. And so that's just the way God works. Hallelujah. Anybody have any testimonies that you want to share? Hallelujah.
I just wanted to say I married one.
Okay, well, angels take care of problems that you can't take care of. Okay, years ago, when there was a clinic by where the movie theater is now, and they're gone now. Anyway, one of the kids, I don't remember who it was, one of us went there, had something done. They were supposed to bill the insurance. They didn't. Multiple times I called them and gave them the information. Multiple times I went in there and delivered them the information that they needed. Well, they never did bill the insurance company. And I refused to pay it because they were supposed to pay. They were supposed to bill the insurance company. To me, it was a matter of principle. And they said, "Well, we're going to turn you over to a collection agency." And I didn't care. I said, "It's your mistake. I'm not paying for it." Anyway, nasty phone calls, nasty letters. And one day I was real mad and I just said, "Lord, could you please have some angels fix this?" Well, I never heard from them again. A month or so later, I don't know if it was one of our houses or a car. I don't remember what we bought, but we had to have a credit check. It was not on our record that we had ever had our name turned over to a collection agency, because I asked for angels to take care of it, and they did. And angels help you find things. Okay, well, this happened to Maldo, so I may get the details a little off. I think his dad asked him to go to the store, and so he went to the store, got what his dad wanted, took it to him, went home, and his wallet was gone. So he searched the house, he searched the car, went back to his dad's, went back to the store, asked him, "Did anybody turn in a wallet?" And I think he did all that like twice. And while he was out searching for the wallet, I said, "Lord, could you please have an angel just get that wallet wherever it is? If it fell on the ground, if somebody stole it, whatever happened, could you please have an angel just get it and put it where we can find it?" Well, there's a drawer at home where he always throws the wallet. Well, it wasn't there. He had looked several times. I had looked several times, and it wasn't there. And so he gets home after, you know, one of the searches for the wallets, and he thinks, "Well, I've already looked. I'm going to look there again." And he opens the drawer, and it's sitting right there on top of the drawer, like somebody had just got it and just set it there. Nothing was missing. And nobody else was at home. Nobody else knew this was going on, so somebody else didn't find it and put it there. So.
Yeah. Next.
Amen. I'm
Rosie.
I have a list.
I do too.
I think that I have my own army of angels. Barbara mentioned the one from some kids. Years ago, we had vacation Bible school, and Nina and Sonia were small, so we attracted a lot of other kids, and we got it. a break between the morning vacation Bible school until the night. And that was the final day of vacation Bible school. And we always bake cookies and have all the, well, have treats of all kinds for the parents to come. And we went home to make cookies. And all the neighborhood kids and all the VBS kids that I was supposed to give rides home to didn't go home. They all came to my house. And we started baking cookies, and we made one batch that was perfect with all these 20 kids helping, and they were perfect. Well, then time's running out, and I'm making another batch, and it was a flop. If any of you know how to bake, sometimes recipes don't come out. And it didn't, and I had all these kids, and time was running out. And so I gathered all the kids, and I said, let's pray over this dough, this cookie dough. And we did. And the dough came out perfect, perfect, suddenly perfect. And then one of the little girls asked, Vivi, I still remember her always, she says, who was that man praying with us? Well, see, I still get goosebumps. There was no man in my house. It was just me and all these kids. But it was fixed. And let's see, going down my list, Nina wanted me to mention one when we were going to have an accident here. And all of a sudden, our car flew over where it was supposed to be. And we were fine. I think if you're a single mom, you get more favor. I don't know. I get so much help. I broke down coming from Phoenix. They were born in Phoenix. Nina and Sonia were little girls. And I would travel alone and come to Douglas. And in Tombstone, I broke down. And a couple came and helped me. And the car got fixed. And they gave me their names. Never found those people. They told me where they lived. They told me. And I've always worked utility, so I have access to utility companies, and I know how to call and ask and find people. Well, they're supposed to be from Wilcox, and they were never, nowhere in this whole Cochise County did those names exist. So we always know those were angels that helped me. And let me see. Oh, my favorite, Nina, we know this all the time, because I was a single mom and had the kids at home for years and years. Anytime I needed to do something, do you know what the angels would do? They'd ring the doorbell in the middle of the night. If something was turned left on or the door's open or the dogs are out, all the time my doorbell would ring. And we'd always laugh and say the angels were ringing the doorbell. And they would. They'd wake me up. I'd hear the doorbell, but nobody would be there ever. And it was always important stuff that needed but they couldn't go wake me, so they'd ring the doorbell. But true stories.
Yeah. That's awesome.
What a blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. God shows up. He shows up. He shows up, and he's with us all the time. It's just awesome. Hallelujah. I'm thinking of Luis Nalas in Bato Pilas, and he, it was just a big time drug town. Nobody wanted him there. It was just like the enemy was against him, and a Taramato chief was really angry at him because he was winning Taramatos, and he was angry that this guy would come and steal his people. And he went to Luis's house, and he stood out and started just screaming obscenities and curses on Luis and told him to come out. And Luis came out of the house, and he said, I'm going to kill you. And he had a machete. He pulled his machete out of his belt. He pulled his machete out, and he started toward Luis. And Luis just crossed his arms like this and says, you can't help me. God hurt me. God's with me. And the guy just whop on the ground backwards, just whoo. He was down, and he looked real funny, and he got back up. He got his machete again. He says, I'm going to kill you. He started at him again and then fell down. It was knocked down to the ground backwards. He just whop down on the ground. And the second time, he just got up and looked really funny and walked off looking like, what just went on here? And, you know, either God knocked him down or an angel knocked him down. Somebody did. And then not long after that, he came and he talked to Luis and he gave his heart to Jesus. And then after that, he lived how many hour walk away? he had to walk 24 hours to get to church. So then he would walk all day long on Saturday and spend the night in church so he could go to church the next day. Then he would spend 24 hours walking home. Have you ever wanted to go to church that bad? But he had met, you know, he met the presence of God. Hallelujah. Another time in Batopilas, and I know the Lord was with us, the Spirit of the Lord was with us, and it was when Batopilas was going through some really rough times, and there was just gunshots constantly, and you could feel the fear and the tension in the air, and we had been out doing Christmas programs, and we went back to Luis and Mickey's house to eat, and just after supper, a spontaneous prayer meeting started, and we just started praying, and we hadn't planned it, and he just kept praying, and the anointing was there, and we went on praying like an hour and a half, 2 hours. It's just so powerful, and what we didn't know was the house was kind of up on a hill, and there was a young man from the church out watching down below, and there had been two factors, eight guys fighting each other, and we heard the guns coming all the way up the street, and then they got broke up around our pickup, and four of them on one side and four of them were on the other, and they started firing their guns, and their guns would misfire. Their guns wouldn't fire. One of them even took his clip out and put another clip in, and it wouldn't work. And it had worked all the way down the street. But when they got around our pickup, their guns simply would not function. And, you know, and we came down several hours later, and we looked at and there was just the dirt was stirred up all around our pickup. There was beer spilled. It's just like a ring of beer spilled all the way around our pickup. But nothing was wrong with our pickup, so we got in and left. And then the next morning, he told us about these guys getting in a fight around our pickup, and their guns wouldn't work. That's God's protection. Not only would they have been killed, but our pickup would have probably been shot to pieces. And we were just praying up the storm, and the young man that was standing up there watching it says, I wanted to go tell you what was happening, but I was afraid. You guys were praying so hard, I knew I couldn't interrupt you. I just sat there and watched. And so, but we've seen the hand of God over and over and over again. Just deliver and set free. Amen. Protect. Every time we go up, we just, you know, every time we're going anywhere, we say, thank you, Lord, that you bless us, you use us, you keep us safe. Thank you that the angels go before us. They bring up our rear guard. They're all around us. When Becky was a young lady, she had just a teenager. She had a friend, and she wanted to go back to Oregon. And Becky she'd graduated, but she had an old car that really was just an old junker. And they were going to go in Becky's car up to Oregon from Sierra Vista. They went in the friend's car. It wasn't Becky's car. It was the friend's car. And we just went out to watch him leave. And Calvin, he's praying God protect him. And he saw an angel just swoop down right over him and just hover over that car as it's going. And they made it fine, and their trip went good. But God's angels watch over us. They're there. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.